Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KABC here on Sunday evening. Coming to you from deep within the OC, broadcasting from an undisclosed location. And let me tell you, we had a great show yesterday. I got a lot of feedback. I'll tell you that. You've got to understand this. We went through media bias, and if you missed it, go to samnation.com and pull down the podcast and go through it, because the issue here really is the issue here is that I see Trump as a flawed candidate, and this is really important. You got to understand this. I see Trump as a flawed candidate, you're never going to have a perfect candidate, ever, first of all, okay? Everyone's going to have their flaws. And it's the role of the media to certainly take those flaws and to address them being president is a big thing. And the vetting that takes place, I mean, think about a job that you've applied for. You know, when I applied to become an attorney in the state of California, it was a very rigorous process. I don't know if you're aware of how this works, but basically there's a comprehensive background check, and not just that, they actually asked for you to account for all of your time from high school on, and that means any job, every place you've lived, any people that you've done any kind of work for, and you have to list names and phone numbers and addresses and emails. And then they vet it. I mean, they really do. There's a committee of people. If there's something that they don't like, they reject you. And I think the absurdity here, the challenge for me is that I'm just a little guy, okay? At the end of the day, I'm a little guy that's done well for himself, but I'm just a little guy. I have to play by the same rules that you have to play by. And those rules, a lot of times, I mean, the rules are you can go into something completely white hat, but get derailed. For example, I know someone who worked at an office, a law firm, did a great job there, but that law firm, they did some bad things. And when he applied to become an attorney later he went to law school, graduated, took the bar exam, passed the bar exam, applied to become an attorney. He all of a sudden people are looking at that, and he's getting called in, and he's asked to report to the bar and explain why, you know, what now, explain to me your connection here with this group. And it just mystifies me here. It mystifies me that major news outlets, and we talked about this yesterday, major news outlets are completely attacking Trump on everything and giving Hillary, who really ought to be an indicted criminal, an indicted felon right now, giving her a pass. It blows my mind. And so I tend to, when I get on, because I care about objectivity. And despite what some of my hate mail might say, I really do care about that. And when Trump says something absurd, I've called him out on it. But Trump is a guy who says things, and he really is. He tries to be funny. It doesn't always work out. But what I like about him, and I'm telling you this candidly, what I like about him is that when he speaks, it's the real him. I don't have any doubt that he makes sometimes some inappropriate jokes, that he is certainly a little bit hot, okay, temperamentally. But I also know that I'm getting the real Trump. It is who he is. And when you talk to people who have known him personally for years, even people that don't necessarily like him, they'll tell you, the guy on TV, the guy that we're watching on TV, that's the same Trump that they've known for 25, 30 years. And what worries me is that we have over and over and over again close people to the Clintons who come out and says, who you see on TV, that's not the real her. That's not Hillary. You ought to see that witch behind closed doors. You ought to see the kind of shady stuff that those two, meaning Bill and Hillary, do. And so then my job here, I've got to balance it. I got to bring to you a little bit of, realism. Because you can't be a headline reader. No. If you rely on the headlines, especially the headlines in the drive-by media, and even headlines, even conservative media, the headline is there to grab your attention, and to basically convey to you, it's a summarized opinion of what the rest of the piece is about. The headline, oftentimes, if you know the truth, will tell you the bias of the author. The writer of the story. And sometimes the headline is not even written by the author of the piece. It's very important for you to know. Well, I occasionally, and I hate to admit this, but I get fooled. I get fooled. I'll see somewhere. Yes, I do. I digest and read all the news and watch all the news. I even waste my time watching MSNBC, and there are a few broken remotes to that have suffered because of it. But I'll tell you this is so I'm reading. I'm not watching. I am reading on my computer in the New York Times. And I got to see which day this was. I think maybe Tuesday or Wednesday. But I come across a piece, and the piece, the headline of it is "Stress Over Family Finances Propelled Hillary Clinton into Corporate World." And I see that, and I say, I see the bias, right? I automatically identify the bias, because I'm going to tell you something about the Clintons. If you look at the way that they have conducted themselves from the minute they step foot into public life, it is all about power. And with power, all about money. These people, Clinton Inc., it's the biggest money-making operation ever known in politics. Okay? The emails that have now started to trickle out that have been released by WikiLeaks that came out that CNN is even talking about, okay? They detail very clearly that Hillary is actually, hey, give this person access. Give him. He's my guy. Separate email. This guy. And we're talking about the Nigerian. Yeah, I think he's born in Nigeria, but of Lebanese ancestry. He's the one who's getting all the access in that particular email chain that's released. And nobody's talking about this guy. This guy was indicted for money laundering, multi-billionaire. And he buys himself access to our country's State Department with a promise. And tell me how freaking ridiculous this is. With a promise. A promise to a pledge of $1 billion to the Clinton Foundation, of which, based on disclosures, he only gives between $1 and $5 million in cash. So the dude promises the Clintons $1 billion and only gives them between $1 and $5 million. That's a pretty small down payment, and it's already paying dividends. And the emails that came out, and Huma's in this, you know, Hillary Clinton's aide, she's in it. Huma's all over it. Clinton's all over it. And they're using him as a de facto power broker, okay, in dealings that we're having with our in our diplomacy. So I'll get back to that in a minute. The Clintons, notorious money machine. But here you see the New York Times bias. You see that they say it's the stress over families' finances that propelled Hillary Clinton in the corporate world. Because, you know, we all get that. We have all had financial most of us have had financial stress. And we know that when it comes time to feeding, clothing, housing our family, we we'll do a lot. I mean, we will, you know, we'll change careers if need be. We'll sacrifice some of our ethics, perhaps. Some people will, you know. I mean, let's say you're all about nonprofit work, but you're about to lose your house. You know, maybe if you're a lawyer, maybe you're going to sell out and go work for a corporation because, you know what, you need the check. It's not an ultimate sacrifice of your morality. It's just, you know, something your personal ethos. You might have to deviate from it a little bit. And that is something a lot of people, most people I'll even say, can understand. The problem is that I start to read the article because even when I see the headline and I see the bias, I want to get in the article. And immediately I get conned. That's CONNED. Although you could say I got conned as well. KHAN. Because talking about all her connections and shady connections and all this, basically the substance of the article in the first half of it is, oh, I mean, Clinton lost the election for governor. You guys know he was governor in Arkansas, and they had back then short 2-year terms. So he was in the governor's mansion for 2 years, lost the election, loses, and all of a sudden he's out of a job, out of a house, out of money, out of everything. And the article talks about how Hillary, under this pressure, starts to do things that are questionable. Okay. She's, you know, and it gets into Whitewater and I start reading this and I go, this is good. This is, I mean, look, it's, you know, it's good. It's talking about all this bad stuff she did. I got suckered in. Always read to the end. Because the next part of the article is all, but, you know, we understand, and they're broke, and little baby Chelsea, and she had to help little baby Chelsea, and this was so sad. So when I get back, I want to talk to you about the real story. There are people that didn't get quoted in this article. And also, can I just say this whole thing with this Nigerian guy pledging $1 billion but only giving $1 million? I think Hillary is the first person. Yeah, she might be the first person who actually conned a Nigerian prince and not the other way around. I don't know. But back after this, Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, Talk Radio, 790 KABC.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, here's Johnny.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, on the show tonight is Sam Rogowski. Now, what Sam is the leading word in correct thinking, as opposed to Ed, which is drunk thinking. And that's usually where the left ends up, on the wrong side of right.
You know who I feel bad for? I'll tell you. This week, back in the news, Rod Blagojevich. Now, see, look, if you don't remember who Blagojevich is, and I don't blame you, it's been a few years, but, you know, he was the governor of Illinois. And he was really one of the great dumb politicians. I know, politicians not always the brightest and sharpest tools in the shed. But Rod Blagojevich was up there. I mean, so Blagojevich is the guy who was a very popular governor, man of the people, a little short guy, always loved the media. There wasn't a camera that Blagojevich didn't like. And he always would say really stupid things. And he was the white man's Villaraigosa. He was always saying ridiculous nonsense stuff. But he's most famous, I think, for trying to sell Barack Obama's Senate seat. Because you remember, Barack Obama was a senator for like a hot minute. And when he became president, he vacated his seat. And in certain states, including Illinois, when there is a vacant seat for the remainder of whatever that term is until there's another election, the governor can appoint somebody to fill that vacancy. So if you remember some of this, I don't even remember the guy's name. He tried to sell it. He's tried to sell the seat, and wouldn't you know it, the FBI was hot on his trail, and there's wiretaps and just loads of evidence where he was basically trying to take cash in exchange for the appointment. And if you remember, the first sale went, they were trying to sell it. Wasn't he trying to sell it to, whom was it? Reverend Jesse Jackson's son. You remember this, Missy? You remember this whole story? Anyway, it was a crazy drama because anytime you got Jesse Jackson involved and you got Rod Blagojevich involved, I mean, it was freaking awesome. I mean, it was awesome. So, blah, 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 he got caught. Then he later in this whole process, he ends up giving the seat to a complete null dummy. Forget his name, but he was the guy that went to the Senate, and he never got confirmed by the Senate, and nobody would talk to him. He showed up in the Senate, and everybody knew that the seat was so tainted by this whole scandal that picture this, showing up to school, you know, it's like a nightmare. You know, you remember the sixth grade, you know, if maybe you started a new school. Or the seventh grade, or first day of high school, and you show up, you're new to the area, and no one talks to you. Well, that's what it was like for this guy. Felt really bad. Anyway, I don't know if he was involved in this at all. But long story short, Blagojevich, he must really hate the Clintons because, I mean, compared to what Hillary's done and Bill, I mean, he's a freaking choir boy. And he is sitting out, what, a 14-year term in federal prison? Well, he was up for some sort of rehearing because some of the charges against him had been dismissed. And so the sentencing part of his case was up for review. So when you have a bunch of charges against you that you're convicted of or that you plead guilty to, and you go and you get sentenced, you're given a bunch of jail time, and it's not necessarily specific per charge. It's given globally. Not always, but in this case it was. And so once a bunch of the charges are dismissed because of some procedural stuff, you go back to the judge and you get resentenced. And, you know, so Blagojevich had an opportunity to get up there and explain why he deserved a lower sentence, and the judge laughed. He's like, and no, we're sorry that your family's sad without you. We're sorry that you're missing your young daughters growing up. You should have thought of that. You should have thought of that before you took a crooked path. But I know why Blagojevich wants out of jail. And you're not going to hear this anywhere else because apparently rumor has it that Blagojevich had gotten himself... I didn't know he was a musician on top of everything, this guy. Apparently, he joined a jailhouse rock group called, interestingly enough, the Jailhouse Rockers. And they even had a 21-song playlist. Bill, you should have gotten in on this. You could have done the sound for the Jailhouse Rockers. Well, devastatingly, the group has dissolved. And that's because, well, the lead guitarist was released. And there you have it. That's what life is like behind bars for Rod Blagojevich, who, by the way, the Clintons, if they did a bad, he's done 10% of what they've done. And that's being generous. So, you know, we've been on this media bias thing, but I'm just, you know, talking about the Clintons and this concept there that Hillary was the breadwinner. You know, she was the financial person. And this is something that the New York Times, we're talking about this from last segment going into this New York Times article, which almost deceivingly looks like it might play both sides, but ends up not doing that at all. It ends up being, in my opinion, a total puff piece because it frames everything as concerned mother, concerned wife, has to cut a few corners, which we all understand. You know, we all get it. You know, we've all had to sacrifice in order to make ends meet. Well, there's a book out, and I've talked about it before. It's a fascinating book because it's written by a gal by the name of Dolly Kyle, and she was Bill Clinton's girlfriend at the time that he met Hillary. And then continued an affair with him for many years, okay? I think through the time that he was in the White House. Now, by the way, this lady here has letters from Bill Clinton. She has all sorts of photographs and memorabilia to back up her claims. And the book really hasn't, you know, at the end of the day, I mean, it got published and she didn't get sued or, I mean, fought off efforts to get it quashed. And she talks about that in there. And but really, you know, she is somebody who was very close to Bill. She's from the same place in Arkansas as Bill Clinton was, grew up close to him. Their families grew up together and knows Bill Clinton from his early days. Does not know Hillary very well, but certainly knows Bill. And it's funny. I would think that if I was writing an objective article, not an opinion piece, but an objective article about, oh, say, that whole time when Bill Clinton was governor and then got kicked out of office, and then Hillary had to step in and do the 9-to-5, you know, feed the family, got the young baby, Chelsea Clinton, right? I would want to say, at the very least, detractors, other people, people formerly close to the Clintons, people now at odds with the Clinton. Whatever, couch it however you want, just put it in. It's a book. It's on paper. It's a national bestseller. I mean, how hard is it? But that's not the not you. But yeah, now you're Sam. You're forgetting it. You got their talking points. If you work at the Gray Lady, they're talking points. And they talk about how suddenly, you know, this is about how uncharitable this article gets. Okay, so this is classic, right? Classic New York Times. Even some of Mrs. Clinton's allies privately say they are mystified by her choice to make the Wall Street speeches, given the likelihood that they would become an issue in the presidential campaign. And to some of them, her financial motives clash with the selfless Methodist credo to do good for others that she so often says guided her toward a life of public service. Now, let me just take that last sentence apart for a moment. Indulge me. The sentence says that it doesn't say that her financial motives clash with the selfless Methodist credo to do, she claims, guides her towards a life. Right? It assumes that this is right because it says the credo to do good for others that she so often says, right? It's a subliminal way that says it doesn't dispute that who thinks here, realistically, even if you are going to vote for Hillary, do you really think that she's got some selfless Methodist credo? Do you really believe? If you believe that, you need to check yourself into a loony bin. You are more insane than you think Donald Trump is. You are nuts. There is nothing Methodist about Hillary. Are you kidding? I know Methodists. There are some really principled, straight arrow people who are, might I add, also very modest. This is Hillary, if you want me to do a speech, you cannot fly me in anything less than a G4 Gulfstream jet. Does that sound like Methodist credo to you? And that's a matter of public record. She won't deign to fly in anything less than a top-of-the-line private jet. She puts that in her rider. You think that she stays in any... You think that she would ever stay in the hotel that I stayed in at the Republican National Convention? Like hell she would. These people are the biggest snobs, all in it for me, Methodist credo. I almost choked when I read that. So when we come back, I want to actually give you the straight scoop of what it was like when Bill lost that race and lost got kicked out of the governor's mansion. It's kind of interesting. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, Talk Radio, 790 KABC.
In this present crisis, government is the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. And Sam Nation is the solution. Of course, you need jelly beans for that.
Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, Talk Radio, 790 KBC. We talk about the Trump train here from time to time. Whoop, whoop! This was not the Trump train, although it might have been if you were watching CNN last week. Apparently, some train car somewhere derailed in Iowa. Charles City, Iowa, for you geography whizzes out there. Now, that in and of itself would not be a news story, but how this is special, noteworthy, if you will, is that this derailed train car hit a bar named Derailed. Yes, folks, file this away under truth stranger than fiction. Police Chief Hugh Anderson said the accident occurred around 4 a.m. Tuesday. Crews were moving rail cars, and changed connections in Charles City. It appears that the track separated, and the grain car tipped about 45 degrees into the back of the bar. I don't know. Does that just? I hope that went right into their, mixed in right with their hops. A lot of grain shows up at the right time in a bar, I don't know. Anyway, the patrol officer called them to say a train car had derailed into Derailed. They had to get repeated over the radio. Say what? Adding that, well, quote, it's not every day you get to say that, close quote. Thankfully, no one was injured, and the bar owner estimated damages at $10,000. Wow, only in Iowa. 10 grand. I mean, what is that? Here you damage a bar in California, probably $1 million right off the bat. But regardless, say that you're there. You're having a drink. You're having your favorite pale ale. You're sitting on a bar stool and you're chatting up a member of the opposite sex, or even maybe a member of the same sex. Because this is America. And we're okay with that. This is not the Taliban. Okay? You can do that. You can love a man or a woman. Or even yourself. But imagine you're doing this, and suddenly, wham, a rail car just hits. Explosion, whatever, and you are there. You just got slammed against the wall. You're hurt. You're I don't know. You're probably wondering, what the hell? So let's face it. You could be anywhere, any place, anytime. Accidents happen. And when they do, if they're not your fault, you got to make sure that the person that caused it is held accountable. We're big on that in this country. It's called accountability. Okay? We make mistakes. Crap happens. But what we don't do is we don't just walk away. We let the people that are responsible make things right. And the problem is that even if they want to make it right, like let's say this train owner, let's say he wants to make it right, but he's going to turn it over to his insurance company, right? He's going to turn it over to insurance, and the insurance company's going to say, well, not today. You know what you got to do? Don't take a chance on that. Get the right representation. Call attorney Sweet James Bergner. That's right. When you call his office, you'll know why he's known as Sweet James. He's the champion, the victor, when it comes to winning personal injury cases. Over $400 million and counting. Number keeps going up. We got to update our total here. We do. They're problem solvers, everyone on his team. And Sweet James deals with all of the insurance companies out there, all of them. He fights them all. And you know what's funny? adjusters, attorneys, other employees of insurance companies, all contacts we James, just to make sure their case is handled by the best. Now, what does that tell you? That's right. They know who to call, and so should you. Dog bites, car, motorcycle, truck accidents, slip and fall, pedestrian, product liability, any kind of accidents. Everyone I talk to knows that you need to call Sweet James. So call my friend, Attorney James Bergner, 1-800-881-2021, 1-800-2021, 1-800-881-2021, or visit sweetjames.com. All right. So we're talking about Hillary, of course. I'm having too much fun with this New York Times article. And if you're just tuning in, we've been harping on media bias. I'm explaining to you how it exists, why it exists. Yesterday, we got into a great discussion of some of the sources of why CNN suddenly has tacked so hard against Trump. And I identified three key reasons why, and they're good. So get the podcast, visit samnation.com. You're not going to want to miss that show. You really don't want to. But I read this puff piece last segment about Hillary and the reason why she had to compromise her morals, What do they call it? Oh my gosh, it's sickening. They talk about this, her credo. Well, I'm getting to it here. I got my stack of stuff got all muddled up here during the break. But at any rate, the New York Times talking about is about why Hillary had to compromise her values, her Methodist credo, whatever nonsense that is, and that basically it's all explained because Bill really doesn't care about money. He just cares about politics. And Hillary, she's the practical one. You understand. You're a single mom. I mean, you're a mother. You're a wife. You're this. You're that. Come on, you know what it's like. You know what it's like when you have to step in and help your family, take care of your kids. And there are a lot of sources out there that the New York Times author who wrote this drivel could have gone to. And one of them, I explained, was Dolly Kyle, who was the mistress of Bill's longtime 16-17 year mistress of Bill Clinton and dated him actually before. So in fact, finders keepers, she was first in time, first in right, I guess. They were dating, her and Dolly Kyle and Bill Clinton were dating before Bill met Hillary. And one thing that Dolly Kyle says about Bill is that Bill very early on was politically ambitious. In fact, in high school, she knew him in high school. They met as kids. She says that at one point he looked at her, square in the face, I'm going to become president of the United States. And Bill believed this. Now, a lot of people believe that and say that kind of thing, never become president. But it is important because Bill was early on focused singularly on politics. And he ran, as most people do, unsuccessful campaigns. He ran a primary, then he ran an actual, made it past the primary, ran for Congress, okay? And ultimately becomes state attorney general in Arkansas. But really in that time, he doesn't have a paying job. He lives off of other people. He's just a mooch. He's got some work. I mean, he's working as an adjunct professor. I don't know how much money that makes. An adjunct professor, by the way, don't be fooled by that word. That's basically, I show up, I teach a few classes, and I'm not even on payroll. I'm getting paid like it's subsistence living, okay? Most law schools pay like $500, a unit or something like that. The class costs you more as a student than what you get paid as an adjunct. Let me put it to you in those terms. So he's working at the University of Arkansas School of Law and lecturing, and that's about it. And so he tells this gal, it's in the book and backed up with letters and other, eyewitness accounts. And is it that Bill knew in his life that he needed somebody to take care of him financially. He recognized that he was going to be in politics and he needed somebody that would take care of him. And this is how he met Hillary. Now, if this starts to shock you, now hear me out. If this starts to shock you as being, well, different than the narrative you heard in Bill Clinton's speech at the Democratic National Convention, I will excuse your surprise, but follow me down this rabbit hole, if you will. When Dolly Kyle sees Hillary for the first time, right? Bill Clinton has been away at Yale at school, and he moved in with Hillary because he had no better, he needed a place to live. The guy was that out of cash. He moves in with Hillary and confides in Dolly Kyle that his sex life has gone to crap because eyewitness accounts of Hillary, she basically looked like a giant hairy frump monster when she got off the plane in Little Rock. And you're thinking to yourself, because you're Californian, you don't know any better. I'll explain this to you in a minute. You're thinking, well, I was fit right in with those Arkansas people. But the truth is, that is BS. High society in Arkansas, especially back then, I mean, women dressed up. You wore dresses. You took care of yourself. You went to the hairdresser every week. And you didn't walk around looking like a shaggy hippie orangutan. But that is precisely what Hillary did. Shaggy, hairy, monster, she looked like the Swamp Thing. And not only did she have a displeasing appearance, she had a displeasing smell. Yes, a displeasing smell. But it was her attitude that was the worst. She came from Illinois. She worked in D.C. And she comes down to Arkansas and she is nasty. And the background, too, is that one of the reasons that Bill lost. Remember this. Imagine this. Imagine you are a Southern governor in the 70s. And your wife doesn't like to wear dresses, doesn't like parties, doesn't like to mingle, is really not an asset in any way. And what else? Oh, by the way, she hasn't taken your last name. Now, today we look at that and go, oh, it's almost an asset. I got a strong, independent wife. But back then, everybody was telling her, for Pete's sake, woman, just take Clinton on. But you know what? Hillary does have some morals that she doesn't want to compromise. And being her own person, and making her own ways, one of them, it's interesting. And it was one of the reasons they lost the race. But there's more. Okay, back after this. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, Talk Radio, 790 KBC.
I was listening the other day to a friend of mine. His name is Sam, Sam Majowski. You'll find him very interesting. He's very stylish. He's always wearing his suit. And if you want to hear someone's opinion that absolutely is correct, you listen to Sam. Anyone else is a waste of time.
Now, you know women sometimes like to get catty, and ladies, forgive me. I realize I'm treading into uncomfortable territory. But also recognize this, that, you know, whatever you want to say about Clinton, certainly when Clinton was in his prime, he was quite the ladies' man. I mean, he could have any woman anywhere. I mean, it was like that. Now, he preferred to rape a few of them from time to time, and that's a whole other story. But the fact of the matter is, Bill Clinton was a guy that pulled attractive women. And the gal here, and I'm looking at her picture, the one that wrote this book that had a long-term affair with him. Well, I don't know. I want to get a lady's opinion. Missy, now, can you see this picture here? What do you think? Can you see it? Okay. What do you think? I mean, attractive woman. Yes, can I say that? I'm a married man. I don't want to get into trouble, so I'm asking for an unbiased third-party opinion. I won't ask Robbie. He thinks any woman's attractive. Especially on the weekends. So, well, I can't say that. Well, but here is what Bill Clinton's on-off girlfriend at this time, when the story, okay, when this is all happening, this is how she describes her first meeting with Hillary, because I don't want to get into trouble for calling Hillary an orangutan. You tell me if, well, you tell me what you think. This is, and this now I quote, She was wearing a misshapen brown dress that must have been intended to hide her lumpy body. The garment was long, but stopped too short to hide her fat ankles and thick calves, which, to my astonishment, were covered with black hair. Thick brown sandals did nothing to conceal her wide feet and hair on her toes. You know, and I looked up quickly, embarrassed for the woman, as afraid that I'd already been rude for staring, as a kid might stare at a deformed or crippled person. And so, but that wasn't the real, like, that wasn't the real thing, right? I mean, I'm dying reading this, right? Her eyes, however, bulged out of focus and seemed to glare at me behind Coke bottle thick lenses. The dark, heavy frames that competed with thick eyebrows that seemed to stretch from one side of her forehead to the other. She had a unibrow! Ladies and gentlemen, I think we need to start a Twitter account for Hillary's. Do you think she aborted this unibrow? Was it? Well, anyway. It's like, it's a co-joined twins. You got to separate it. Well, anyway, apparently the best part of the story, though, is that this Dolly lady, and Hillary has no idea about her and vice versa. She goes, "Hey, nice to meet you." And Hillary wouldn't even shake her hand. She just stands there and just glares at her. This is, folks, if you haven't heard it, this is the stink eye, the notorious stink eye. And Hillary, by the way, she's intolerable. This is not just one pissed off ex-girlfriend writing about, you know, the woman that ends up winning over the guy. Other people, Secret Service agents, you know, people that worked in the White House. I mean, Vince, she was so horrible to Vince Foster, he freaking shot himself. Okay? You think I'm joking? I'm not. But it's, you know, but anyway, later in the chapter, they were all supposed to get in the car and go somewhere. And Dolly Kyle writes, "I vowed to myself not to drive off without the other woman, no matter how bad she smelled." That's right. I mean, this is interesting. All right, what do you think of when you think of a politician and a politician's wife? What was so amazing about Bill Clinton? I mean, why would if Bill Clinton were running right now instead of Hillary, why would he be 20 points ahead of Trump? He'd be winning this thing hands down. Why is it? Because for as narcissistic and insanely self-involved as Clinton is, he somehow has the good sense to know what plays well and what doesn't. But Hillary was tone deaf from the very beginning. She was lost in her own arrogant world. I don't care how I dress. I don't care how I show up. By the way, if you think, and let me just clear this up. If you think that this is just, well, come on, she got off a flight. You know, it was uncomfortable. She didn't have her service monkey. Well, could be. I mean, you know, I know those monkeys are very helpful when it comes to grooming and picking ticks out of hair. Don't know. But at any rate, well, this was on an important election eve. Okay, when a politician is running for office and the results are coming in. And here it wasn't Bill Clinton that was running. It was Senator Fulbright, who was Bill Clinton's political mentor, his godfather in Arkansas. This is the guy that launched Bill Clinton's political career. He was Bill Clinton's everything. And he was running for re-election. The results are coming in. Bill Clinton is his protege. I can't overstate enough the relationship. Now, imagine you are Bill Clinton. And now imagine you have a girlfriend, a significant other, somebody significant enough that you've lived with them during law school. You've cohabitated. You've shacked up, whatever the term is that you want to use. That person, I would presume, has some emotional IQ. enough to identify that this evening that she's coming to is an important one in your life. You're going to be in front of people. You're going to be meeting people, cameras, TV, da-da-da-da-da. Even in the early 70s. That image is important. And Hillary is the tone-deaf dummy that comes up, that shows up looking like Bigfoot on a night when her boyfriend, future life partner, but even if they hadn't figured that thing out yet, her boyfriend is on stage at a political event. I mean, I've been to a lot of these political events. I know it's a drudge for people who aren't into it. But the thing is that Hillary at this point is into politics. You know, she's the one that was working on the Watergate scandal. You know that she was helping investigate and leave. She participated in the Watergate investigation. And she was a staff attorney while she was busy flunking the D.C. bar exam. She was a staff attorney on the Watergate investigation. She was already on her way to becoming a D.C. insider. And you've got to remember this, too. The reason she came down to Arkansas was not because she fell in love with Billy, but because she didn't get fired, but she certainly didn't get asked back to serve anywhere. And the story is, in Watergate, and you remember this investigation going into Nixon went for several years. There are lots and lots of young attorneys working, but she was on paper, a very qualified person. And a woman, that doesn't help in the 70s when things are starting to be, you know, all about the PC and gender issues and all that. Equality nonsense, right? So, you know, big thing. We got a woman working on the committee. It's a pretty big thing when on a left-wing witch hunt, right? You know, you get fired from it or not invited back. You know that her supervisor, the lead attorney that was her supervisor on the Whitewater investigation, excuse me, Watergate investigation. Oops. You know that he refused to later write her a letter of recommendation? Refused to do it. Hillary flunks the bar exam, and at that point, her name's dirt. You're really telling me that somebody who was raised in Illinois, then went to Yale, then went to D.C., wanted to get into the D.C. thing, then goes to Arkansas to put down roots? She got smoked out of town. Her name was garbage by the time she was done working on Watergate. Garbage. She failed the D.C. bar exam. Who from Yale fails a D.C. bar exam? It's not even that hard of an exam. Fails it. Doesn't get a letter of rec. And with that, if you worked on one political gig and that person won't recommend you for another one, it's over, over, over. So you know what? That attitude that she showed at the airport where she's dressed like a gosh knows what, you know what that says to me? It's like, God, I sucks to be here, but I guess I'm going to have to make the best of it. And you know what she realized early on was that Clinton was going to give her some good coattails. It's not the way the New York Times has written it where, oh, Hillary, she stepped in and helped financially. And oh, she saved. She's the steel, the power behind the throne. And oh, da, 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 oh, 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 oh. No. She's a coattail rider. She's a tone-deaf coattail rider. She didn't do anything to help Bill down there. Anything she stepped in was immediately scandal-plagued. While Bill was busy forcing himself on women behind closed doors, what was she doing? Got a cush job at the Rose Law Firm, only because her husband was governor. Makes a $1,000 investment and in 6 months turns that into $100,000 trading pork bellies? Give me a break. Fraud, fraud, fraud. Anyone? Whitewater investing in some crooked land deal with the McDougal. I mean, everything Hillary touched down there was just turned to crap. And all the while, arrogantly, in a culture that she refused to understand, refused to even take Bill Clinton's last name and at least play, quote unquote, play a politician's wife. So there you have it. if you wonder why Hillary is giving speeches to Goldman Sachs and at the same time preaching that we need to hold Wall Street accountable, if she's trying to speak to the little man and at the same time being on the board of Walmart, if she's trying to tell you she believes in gay rights, but at the same time puts a person behind her up on stage who says gays ought to be executed and supports the Taliban. If you're trying to reconcile those two different things, don't. She's incapable of it. She doesn't get it. She's completely tone deaf. Because she's better than us, right? She's better than us, smarter than us. Man, I don't want this person in the White House. I'll take Trump any day of the week. Well, that's a wrap. Have a great rest of your Sunday. Visit samnation.com for all the details, you know, Twitter and email and the podcast. Don't forget the podcast. Sam Berjovsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KBC.